Hello and welcome to Simply Save, Money Control's weekly personal finance podcast, where we talk about all things investments, savings, expenses, your finances and your money. I'm Kaizad Adajaniya. Last month, passive funds got net inflows of close to 14,000 crore. Actively managed equity funds, in fact, saw a net outflow of about 2,500 crore. So why are investors interested in passive funds? And can we now build our entire portfolios using just passive funds and eliminate fund managers' risk? To talk more on that, I'm joined by Pratik Oswal, who heads the passive funds division at Motilal Oswal Mutual Fund, and Koel Ghosh, who's the head of South Asia S&P Dow Jones Indices. Hi, Koel, and hi, Pratik. Welcome to Simply Save.
Yeah, thanks. It's been nice to be on your show.
Yeah, thank you, Kaiser, for having us.
Pratik, let me start by asking you, since Motilal Oswal has been launching passive funds, okay, I think over a period of time, your fund house has had a healthy bunch of active funds as well as passive funds in your portfolio. And speaking of passive funds, you know, the focus has really, really come back to passive funds in the, as far as the mutual funds industry is concerned in the past couple of years. We've had index funds for a very long time. Right. But only in the last 2-3 years or so, I mean, almost every fund house has had some or the other launch in the passive fund space, whether they are launching an index fund or whether they're launching an ETF or a smart beta fund. So realistically speaking, I mean, you know, when you speak to distributors, I'm sure you must be getting a lot of feedback from them also saying that, you know, the passive funds are more and more acceptable today in people's portfolios across generations, as opposed to what it was maybe, let's say, 10 years ago or so. So to what extent can an average investor now look at having a passive fund in their portfolio, given the variety, given the choice that we have now in the industry?
Yeah. Thanks, Kaizad. So, so basically, I think, you know, as you said, use the word 10 years. In fact, if you look at the Motilal Oswal asset management history, you know, we started at 2010, and we actually, most people don't know this, but we've actually started out as an ETF house.
Yes.
You know, so we actually launched India's first smart beta ETF back in 2010. I think it was too early back in the day. Still might be too early for that, but we also launched an international fund and also a mid-cap ETF. So, you know, we felt that, you know, it was too early in the day for that sort of a product to be marketed to customers. But I do think that, you know, over the course of the last 10 years, we do see that. I think now, I think the biggest issue with at least the industry is there's too much choice. You know, if you look at an average investor, especially on the retail category, now we have more customers coming in directly to the markets and you're looking at thousands and thousands of options out there. So the whole idea behind sort of at least the way I saw it, say, 2 years ago, when we thought about launching this business again, is to provide simplicity to the customer. You know, for a customer who's coming for the first time or doesn't really know what fund to select amongst so many, passive funds make it a lot easier. You know, you have 10,000 options there. That comes down to, say, 4 or 5, maybe 10 options today. Mm-hmm. So I do think that, you know, I think the thesis is more based on the concept of simplicity than anything else. Apart from that, you know, we have obviously been actively, you know, launching passive funds.
In September 2019, you launched a few funds, right?
Yeah. So we launched around 7 funds in the last maybe 12 months, exactly 12 months now. And now I think we are the only AMC that have funds across, you know, large cap, mid cap, small cap, multi cap sector, and also the international category, which I think is doing pretty well, I think, at this point of time.
So your S&P 500, Pratik, you launched in April.
Yes, and Nifty 50 and X50 we launched in December. And then we had 4 index funds that we launched in, I think, September of last year. Okay. So overall, we have around 11 funds today.
And Nifty Midcap 150 is also an index fund which you launched last year.
Yes. So if you want me to just cover all the funds, you know, we have 2 large cap funds, Nifty 50 and X50. We have the Midcap 150 index, which covers the entire midcap sort of space. We have a small cap 250, small which cap is the top 250 small cap stocks. Yeah. We have the Nifty 500. Nifty 500 is probably, to me, the most interesting one because it covers the entire market cap of India. So it's pretty much close to like an all market fund which is also Vanguard's biggest fund. And we have one sector fund, the bank index. And recently, obviously, we launched the S&P 500 fund. So I think overall, we have three ETFs, which are more of legacy products, which are also, I think getting good traction today.
What's the response that you got from these? I see the corpuses are very small still, right? I mean, they're around 50 crore each, around 40, 50 crore each in these passive funds. Would you call that a success initially, or are you still warming up? And you have a long way to go as far as these funds are concerned, as far as the penetration of and acceptability of these passive funds are concerned, because these are quite nuanced categories that you have launched. You've launched a mid-cap ETF, index fund, you've launched a small-cap index fund.
Yeah, I think the AUM obviously is not as much as what we had expected, say, a year ago. But actually, you know, what we've surprised is the number of transactions that come on a daily basis. So the retail participants that are buying these products. And typically, I think the reason why I like retail money is because it's sticky money. It stays for a very long time. So I think in terms of just number of transactions or number of investors that we have, and we have thousands and thousands of investors, tens of thousands in each of these funds. So I think the AUM aspect may not reflect it, but I do see that we are getting a lot of traction on a daily basis in number of transactions. Yes, in terms of AUM, our international funds are obviously getting a lot more acceptability, partly because of the entire sort of move towards diversification. I think that is something we're making a lot of traction. But overall, yes, you know, I think, and at least from my experience of talking to the distribution community, it's not been very popular there, because obviously the amount of, I would say, commission that you give on passive funds is maybe less than half than what you can give on an active strategy. So I think most of the traction that we've got is purely from direct channels.
Okay. Cool, let me bring you in at this time. From an index provider, you know, we've had indices like Nifty and Sensex as the most widely acceptable indices as far as index funds and passive funds ETFs were concerned. But over a period of time, we've seen, and even Motilal Oswal's product bouquet also, you know, now more and more indices are also coming up they are an option for index fund manufacturers and index funds and ETFs also, as far as a variety of indices are concerned. So how acceptable are these indices now in a person's portfolio? Apart from, are investors ready to look beyond just Nifty and Sensex? Can you actually have an entire portfolio just for passive funds and index funds?
Well, Kesar, it's a good point, because I think currently India, I would say, is still in a very nascent stage in terms of passive. Yes, the assets have multifoldly grown out. It's an exponential growth in terms of how assets have grown in the region. Obviously, a lot of it was because the government intervened, and we had, you know, the EPFO who invested in ETFs, and then we had DIPAM who brought in the ETFs. So I think that brought in an acceptability to active funds, and people started understanding what ETFs are. So now we've reached a stage where the entire, you can say, investors understand ETFs, and they see that as another scope. Now, still, if you go out and ask most of the product providers, they are still, I think, sticky with the basic Sensex, 100, 500, plain vanilla, because they say that it's a chicken and egg situation. You know, most of the clients and investors find it easier to understand. But at the same time, like if you see today, we have somebody like Motilal who's looking at international diversification. I think the call of the day, given the market circumstances, are that you move from plain vanilla to maybe internal international diversification, which is, again, S&P 500 is a plain vanilla index for the international market. Right. If you had to look out the plethora of indices, you know, S&P Dow Jones creates more than a million indices every day. And within S&P 500 itself, there are many variants. Like, you have factors, low volatility, you know, momentum, quality, dividends. There are a whole lot of this. Today, if you see our markets, there have been attempts to launch such products, but the uptake on that has still been not as encouraging as one should be. If you go out, I'm sure when you are talking to investors, if you go out and ask many, people still question, okay, what is an ETF? So, you know, we are still asking the basic questions. We are still answering the basic question. But one of the very important things that we have to understand today is we understand India is largely an active space. But as our SPIVA report, you know, is spilling out, especially in the large cap space, the scope of outperforming the benchmark is really diminishing and shrinking. So that's definitely a space where one can explore, sorry, the passive. The other space where I think one can really look at passive is, we do understand there is a resistance to move from active to passive. Why not do core satellite? I think even Prateek, I've heard him talk about it. You know, you use your core. If you're a basic active person, you use your core as active and you use satellite strategies using passive. So I think there are ways and means where you can use passive. Today, if you know, we can progress beyond plain vanilla, there are factor and single factor indices that are brilliant. And if you look globally, ESG as a factor is becoming very, very popular. I don't know what the uptake again in India will be, but definitely ESG is something that is being incorporated into portfolios and into investment decisions in a very big way. So that's something that definitely.
As an index provider, you must be interacting with a lot of fund houses when they decide to launch index funds or ETF funds, or maybe just generally in passive fund space. Do you see a lot of interest, at least, or maybe a lot of queries coming from fund houses to perhaps look beyond just Sensex and Nifty when it comes to launching passive funds? Do they ask questions? Do they inquire? Do they look interested?
Yes, the shift is definitely there. I mean, if I spoke around a year or two back, definitely the take was, you know, let's not go beyond Sensex and 100. Today, I'm having conversations where people are saying, okay, let's look at low volatility. Let's look at a quality. Let's see if we can have
These are smart beta ETFs. That's a separate.
Yes.
I was going to come to you about smart beta ETFs also, because that's also a very interesting emerging space. But what about, let's say, a bank ETF or a sector specific ETF or a mid cap ETF or even a small cap ETF? You know, even a mid cap and a small cap index fund is also still quite a rarity, right, in the Indian mutual fund space.
Absolutely. But, you know, Kezal, what I've noticed is fund managers and people in the investment world are a little cautious when they take sector biases, because they say it's cyclical. So, you know, you have a segment where, you know, a certain sector may do well, and then, you know, the cycle completely turns. And obviously, they are looking at keeping the product alive for a long term. So while I say, yes, there is a certain level of interest in sector-based, today, of course, bank is a very prominent space for India, and there are bank ETFs in the market. So there is a certain level of demand, but I would again call that and brand that in the plain vanilla products, because that is, again, basic, because it's very easy for a client or investors to understand. I think when I think about the next level, I definitely think of smart beta or factor, as you said.
Okay. So there you're saying you're seeing a lot of investor interest and also mutual fund interest also in launching smart beta ETFs, right, over there?
Yes, yes, okay. Definitely. There is definitely interest coming on. I mean, there are some people who want to do self-indexing at times, which I would advise against, because I think an independent index provider brings a lot of transparency and non-bias to the table. And that helps investors also understand that here is an index provider who has no interest in what the product will offer, but it's just creating an index which will give and represent the strategy or the segment that it wants to invest in.
So when you launch a smart beta ETF, you work jointly with the fund house, you try and come up with a methodology to launch a smart beta ETF. And the index first, right, based on which the ETF would be. And the index is maintained by S&P, right? Now,
So there are two ways. Okay, so I'll stop you there, because there are two things here. There are two, we have two segments of indices. One is called standard and one is called custom. When it's a standard index, there are standard methodology and practices that we use globally. So if I'm creating a S&P branded low volatility index, its methodology will be uniform across regions, across all kind of countries. So we have standard, like I said, whenever you think of an index, think about a mathematical formula. So that formula and the certain formula aspects of it will be the same. The custom part of it is different. That's where we consult the client. We do not carry the brand. We always say it's calculated by S&P, but that's where we can take client inputs and say, okay, you know, here we are customizing an index for you. But that's the primary difference. So if it's a standard index, it'll be completely our methodology. The client has absolutely no say over what that index design has.
And then on the basis of customize or on the basis of even standard indices, other fund houses can also launch similar ETFs, or they can only launch ETFs based on standard and not on customized.
No. I think they can do, as long as SEBI approves, you know, they can launch any product that they want. So our job as an index provider is to provide him that underlying basket and strategy on the basis of which he wants to run that product. And then once he decides to do that, he will take that product and, you know, kind of go to SEBI saying that this is what I want to launch. And once he has the approval, he's out in the market.
And Koel, since you are an index provider, personally, what do you feel more attracted to? A fund house launching an ETF based on an index or a fund house launching an index fund? What's more preferable to you as an index provider?
I don't think so. I have a preference as an index provider at all. He can launch an index fund. He can launch an ETF. Both are passive routes.
Yeah.
Both are ways and means where the products underlying is the index and they are mimicking the index to the T. So it is whatever is convenient to the product provider and the product provider's clients, they can choose what they want to use the index and how they want to do the product. In fact, there are some clients of ours, not maybe in locally, but internationally, who use it in structured products as well, which is a basket of multiple indices. So you can use it as and when. There are also in the market today a different kind of passive. You have market link debentures who are using underlying Sensex or any other such index to give representative desired return to a product. So there are very many means where an index can be used in a passive route.
Pratik, what about you? I mean, what does your research tell you, your interaction with distributors, investors? I mean, we have a healthy bunch of ETFs. We have a healthy bunch of index funds. What ETFs, obviously, the cost is much, much lower even than an index fund. In fact, even for an index fund also, the cost has really gone down in the last couple of years. What do you think is more convenient and advisable for an investor, in ETF or an index fund?
You know, so we have actually studied ETF index fund for quite some time. In fact, we were an ETF house when we started. So we've been running ETFs for almost 10 years. And, you know, what we've learned is that, you know, ETF may not be the most customer centric, at least from a standpoint of where India is right now. You know, because what happens in an ETF is you don't really have that much demand on the exchange. And when that happens, a lot of customers who are buying ETFs on the exchange, they tend to overpay. And then they tend to undersell the investments because of lack of liquidity. Obviously, this may not be a long-term problem, but at least in today's standards, you know, we feel that that is one area where investors tend to overpay a lot. And also, I think because of the lack of sophisticated in, say, market makers today, well, there have been serious deviations between what the price should be and where the price is. So I think that is an issue with ETFs today in India. The other, I think, issue is the matter of convenience. You know, so for ETFs, you have to have a DMAT account, which obviously that penetration is a lot smaller than, say, having a simple sort of mutual fund account where you don't really have to just go to the mutual fund, pay them, and then give you the units the next day. Mm-hmm. So you don't have that many sort of middlemen. You know, in ETF, you have the fund house, you have the exchange, you have the market maker, you have the AMC, and then you have the customer. There are a lot of participants that do the middlemen, whereas in index fund, there is nothing in the middle. You just go to the AMC, and the AMC gives you units. Plus, you can set up SIPs and all of that. So I think at least from our experience, you know, so we have one international fund where we launched the ETF 9 years ago. We launched a fund of fund, which is like a mutual fund wrap, say 2 years ago, and that's already 75-80% of the entire corpus. So I think index funds are slightly, at least in today's times, it's slightly more customer centric. And even though costs are maybe on the higher side, I think most people don't really account for liquidity costs. They don't account for brokerage. They don't call for STT, and they don't account for DMAT charges. So if you include all of that, then I would say most ETFs are between 3 to 4 times more expensive than index funds.
Pratik, in the last month, July, we saw a lot of money, coming into passive funds, especially ETFs. You know, 16,000 crore came on a gross basis, 13,000 crore on a net inflow in ETFs. And in fact, from active funds, there have been a net outflow of about 2,500 crores. So was this expected? Yeah. And what's your take on this? Was this expected? Is this a trend which is going on?
Yeah. No, so if you look at the overall ETF flows in India, it's primarily, I would say, pension funds, EPFO. Okay. So I would be, I mean, and also institutions. So I do feel that retail participation, yes, it's there. It's growing every month on month. But I would say the bulk of the flows will be attributed to EPFO and other pension funds, which are deploying large sums of money into these ETFs because they want access to the Nifty 50 basket as well as the Sensex. So I think that's where I would attribute the flows to. But yes, you know, retail participation as well as a lot of other customers are now looking at ETFs and index funds to, as Cole said, you know, taking part of their core portfolio or core portfolio towards, say, passive funds, which is a part where you don't really touch for a very long time. And then obviously you can add your active funds on top of that as a satellite portion.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So going ahead, Pratik, what's going to be Motilal Oswal's strategy? Because you, as you said, you started out by launching an ETF all those years ago, 10 years ago. Then there was a shift to active funds. Now, again, we've had a whole series of passive funds being launched in the last 9 months or so at Motilal Oswal. So what's the fund house's strategy? Where does it want to be? And what kind of active or passive management are you going to get into and see your fund house going?
No, so I mean, honestly, the fund house is still an active house player. A passive is a very small part of the overall AUM. Obviously, now with the international funds, we've managed to get a lot of AUM, but effectively, you know, we're still hardcore stock pickers. You know, all our funds are outperforming the benchmark over the last 3, 5, 10 years. So I think as a fund house, I think we do see a lot of value in stock picking, and we're also obviously very equity focused. So I think the whole idea behind active versus passive is to provide simplicity to the customer. Okay. You know, if a customer is not out there, or if it's DIY, which is obviously a big trend, you know, he or she can choose a passive fund and be relatively happy because the performance is pretty much in line with most active funds. So I do feel that I think we stand for changing customer preferences, where a lot of customers are now going out there and asking for passive funds. And we obviously, you know, so just to give you a historical context, you know, if you ask us in 2010, you know, when we launched our AMC, people were like, why are you guys launching an AMC? You guys are brokers. Today, when you ask anyone, you say, oh, I mean, you guys are active fund managers. So, you know, ideally, if you look at a tagline as well, it's called Think Equity, Think Motilal Oswal. And equity is a very big part about passive funds. So I think that's what we want to stand for. You know, we want to focus on one thing, and that's equity. And obviously, we want to be as customer centric as possible, which is why the passive funds is gaining momentum.
Okay. One thing you mentioned about Think Equity, Think Motilal. So that's another trait of Motilal Oswal, is that you guys have been entirely focused on equities. But Koel also mentioned, when she was talking about the variety of indices and ETFs and index funds that are being launched, and she mentioned about DIPAM. We know that Bharat Bond ETF has also been a good success, and many discerning investors have also taken up to a debt fund thing, passive fund. Do you ever see Motilal Oswal getting into a debt fund space, Pratik?
Yes. Yeah. So we have filed for a debt ETF, but the idea behind that is to more towards provide. So the whole base value of building these products is to create building blocks for asset allocation. If you see all of our products, very simple. You know, anyone, any advisor, any customer can use them as asset allocation. As things move towards asset allocation, people realize that, you know, simpler products do as well as complex products. So I do think that, yes, you know, for us, at least, that is what the thesis would be. So any new product that comes into us or to me, you know, I look at it from an asset allocation lens. You know, I'm not a big fan of sector funds because demand tends to be the highest when everyone's talking about it. You know, so I think a diversified mutual fund ends up, you know, becoming the best form of wealth creation. Yes, even factor indices, you know, I do feel that, yes, there is upcoming demand coming in for it. But I do feel that for smart beta, you know, today, I'll be honest, you know, even explaining a customer what a market cap weighted index is, which is a traditional index, is not easy. You know, explaining them a factor index is even harder. So I think simplicity is what we are looking at. So as a fund house, we want to keep things very simple.
So a debt ETF is coming up. A debt ETF is coming up.
Yeah, so not maybe immediate, but we will be looking at the debt sector as well, but more on the lines of simplicity as opposed to anything else.
But when you're talking about debt, you would be mostly sticking to passive funds?
No, so we also, not really. So we also have a debt active fund, which is more debt oriented, which we just launched, which is the multi-asset fund that is more debt oriented. Mm-hmm. But that's more to do with, I think, building blocks for asset allocation. Okay, it's not really our core focus. So we won't be, so it's a very simple product. So, I mean, anyone can launch a Nifty 50 fund, you know, it's very, so that's how I think we see it, see the debt space as well.
Okay. Koel, I'll let you have the last word. Looking at the options that we have today now in the passive space, is it possible for an investor to actually build her entire portfolio just with passive funds? Or do you still feel that active funds must play, I mean, should play a role or would play a role?
See, I think it also depends on an investor's, you know, core portfolio goal. So I think it depends on where that person wants to be, maybe in 5 years, 10 years, is it a short term, long term. So when anybody is doing an entire, you know, portfolio analysis, they are looking into the risk reward aspect of the of their portfolio. Given our, you know, the way our country is today and the way the options we have, there are very many options which, you know, are there in the active space, and there are a fair amount of options in the passive space. Like I said, if you are convinced, you know, as an investor that, you know, you don't have the time, you know, you are professional, we are professionals, you know, I am like, I don't have the time to be monitoring the market all the time, seeing whether the market's going up and down. Large number of investors today in India, I think, would gain from some more of investor education. So if that is the case, getting into a passive is much easier because you have a transparent rule-based methodology against the index. You're seeing the trends. You know how the entire index will move. But on the flip side, like you say, you know, everybody likes alpha. So, you know, if you are an alpha chaser and you are convinced that, you know, there are today 44 mutual funds, within that they have a plethora of indices and plethora of products and schemes. Now, if you have the ability to pick the right mutual fund, pick the right fund manager, you know, somebody who's consistently performing, somebody who has been there for a very long time. So you have that ability to analyze all of that, which I would say a large number of today retail investors do not. Again, the passive play becomes much more simple because, you know, you're getting into something which is set. But again, coming back to what I spoke about, you know, I think it's always a good idea in today's world to do core satellite. I would rather do a core of, my personal take would be to do a core of passive and, you know, use a few active strategies as satellite. So that is something that can help. But overall, I would say the passive space today is growing at a really, really fast pace. And I'm so optimistic because 10 years back when I had joined the industry, I would walk into a fund manager's you know, office and he would say, are you here to take my job? Today, that same fund manager would be say that, you know, Koel, on the active you know, space, I know what I have to offer. What can you, you know, give me as an index strategy? Can we do something and offer my investors some other options where they can look at the passive play? Obviously, there are too many statistics today that are also promoting that. I mean, it's not only in India. Even globally, if you see the S&P 500, has been, you know, kind of beating a lot of the active fund managers. So I think it is a uniform trend that's happening. You are seeing the passive space really blow up. And I think in India, we are really primed at this stage to grow that out. So as more product providers are going to start giving options, I think it is time for investors to really understand this passive space and then get into it.
Okay. Thank you so much, Koel and Prateek, for joining us for this podcast.
Thank you, Kesa.
Yeah, thank you, Kesa.
That's all we have for you folks today. Keep listening to Simply Safe. And if you have any questions or feedback, do write in to us at mcpodcast@nw18.com. I repeat, it's mcpodcast@nw18.com. For more news, views and updates, log on to moneycontrol.com.